77 WABC. The following program does not necessarily reflect the views of WABC Radio.
The following program is brought to you by NYU Winthrop Hospital. It's the weekend. Be good to yourself. It's Katz's Corner with Dr. Aaron Katz, where you get simple, straightforward answers to your questions about health, from diet and supplements to lifestyle changes. To reach Dr. Katz, call 800-848-WABC. Now, live on 77 WABC, it's the chairman of urology at NYU Winthrop Hospital in New York. Here is Dr. Aaron Katz.
Well, good morning, everybody. Good morning on this beautiful Sunday in fall. And I know you're all saying, where is Dr. Katz? Actually, Dr. Katz is away today, and I'll go into that in a minute. This is Dr. Scott Schuback, and I'm back. I've hosted before, and it's always a pleasure. I'm the chairman of cardiac and thoracic surgery at NYU Winthrop Hospital, formerly Winthrop Hospital, and we're very pleased to be now affiliated with NYU Langone in the city. Again, I'm the chairman of the department in cardiothoracic surgery, and we're going to be talking about diseases of the chest today. Dr. Katz, as I said, is away. He's actually giving a presentation in Paris. We're always very proud of Dr. Katz. He's a great radio host, he's a good friend, and he's really a great doctor. And he was invited over to Europe to give a talk about his studies on prostate. But we're going to take a little detour today, and again, we're going to talk about diseases of the chest and surgical diseases of the chest, and specifically, we're going to focus on lung cancer or tumors of the chest. And I do have a guest today, and I have to say I am very privileged and humbled to have Dr. Brian Mitzman. Dr. Mitzman just joined us at NYU Langone approximately 2 months ago. He is originally from New York, actually from Long Island, and did his medical school upstate in Buffalo, and then locally did his surgery at Lenox Hill. We all know that here in Manhattan. What a wonderful place. And then went out to the University of Chicago and did his thoracic surgery. And now, again, we're very pleased to have him at NYU Winthrop, and really specializes in diseases of the lung, what's known as the esophagus or the food pipe, or any surgical disease of the chest. Dr. Mitzman, welcome, and it's a pleasure to have you here.
Great. Thanks to be really nice to be here today, Scott. Thanks for having me.
Anyway, we do encourage phone calls, and again, we're focusing on tumors or nodules or any disease of the chest, and it's, as stated earlier, it's 1-800-848-WABC. That's 1-800-848-9222, and we encourage you to call. Dr. Mitzman will be full of answers, and we're happy to address anything. So what I wanted to start with, if someone is brought into the doctor's office and someone says, we found an abnormality on an x-ray or a CAT scan. Now, maybe you can tell us the difference between the two. And they say, we found a spot. And you can imagine getting that phone call. But again, which we'll go into, years ago, we were limited to find out, what was that spot. And, God forbid, it's cancer, used to be devastating for all people. And we know with what we do today, people are doing very well. So just can you, Dr. Mitzman, tell me, someone says, okay, you have a spot or a finding on your x-ray. What should be going through my head? What questions should I ask my doctor?
Sure, of course. So that is the biggest concern of most patients that come to us. They see their primary care doctor who says, you have a spot on your lung, go see the thoracic surgeon right now. First thing through everyone's mind is cancer. Is it the big C word? But there's, lots of things that could cause little spots on the lungs that pop up on CAT scan, whether it's an old infection, a little bit of scar tissue. But the reason people do see us is we need to make sure that it's not a cancer,
right,
no matter how low the risk is.
And when you see a spot and they say it's on an x-ray,
right?
What's the difference? I mean, people know about CAT scans. They're very common. But I don't think that everybody understands the differences of between the two studies. We know they're both x-rays. Can you just tell our listening audience what the differences are between a chest x-ray and a CAT scan?
Sure. So a chest x-ray is just one single shot looking right through you, just a picture of your chest. Can't really see different depth levels, just one picture. And if there's anything in there, it kind of overlaps on each other. A CAT scan is much better. If you imagine yourself lying down and being cut up kind of like a loaf of bread, we're able to pull up little slices of bread and, and see that one part of your lung and get a much better idea of if there is a spot, exactly where the spot is, how deep it is, how big it is, how dense it is. And that can tell us a lot about whether it's something you should be worried about or not.
Right. And I've had patients come to me that I had a CAT scan. I fell on my bicycle and mm-hmm. someone wanted to look at my shoulder and they see a spot on my lung on CAT scan. And they'll say, but I had an x-ray 2 weeks ago. My doctor got mm-hmm. it and no one saw anything. Was that x-ray not good or did the doctor miss something?
No, not at all. X-rays just are not as good as CAT scans. CAT scans give us a lot more information and catch many more of these so-called spots, whether they're good or bad.
Right, which is going to lead us, I think, to our next topic. But before we go on, again, we encourage people to call and answer your questions. 1-800-848-WABC, 1-800-848-9222. So years ago, you'd go to your doctor, and depending on your age, they'd say, let's just get an x-ray. And we never knew what they were mm-hmm. looking for. In this day and age, there's this thing called screening. People mm-hmm. get their colonoscopies to look for colon cancer. Women will get mammographies. And as you know, recently in the past few years, there's been controversy at what age. And there's this thing called lung cancer screening with CAT scans. So if I go to my doctor, should I say, listen, I don't want an x-ray. I want a CAT scan. Is this applicable to everybody? And is it beneficial? Thoughts on that?
So I think lung cancer screening is the best thing that's come to our field in decades. You think for women, mammograms. Most women would never miss their mammogram because if you're going to potentially develop a breast cancer, you want to catch it early. Everyone should get a colonoscopy as they start getting older because if you're going to develop colorectal cancer, you want to catch it early. Lung cancer is the exact same thing. You don't really start to develop symptoms until it's too late and it's very, very advanced. So for people that are high risk, they came up with lung cancer screening. People that should get a CAT scan, even if you're not having any symptoms. So if you're developing a lung cancer, we catch it as early as possible and you could get it treated and get it cured.
So who is high risk? Mm-hmm. Again, the 20-year-old who's going for mm-hmm. his, pre-college physical or just... I know there are guidelines out
right.
there. Who should get this screening study?
So I don't think it comes to as a surprise to anybody, but smokers. If you smoke, you are significantly increasing your chance of getting a lung cancer. And even if you smoked at one point in your life and then quit, your chance has significantly increased. So the current guidelines are if you're over 55 years old up to about 75 and you've smoked for, they say, currently smoking or a 30-pack year history.
Can you tell me what that means?
Sure. So 30-pack years. So it's how many packs a day you smoked and for how many years. So if you smoked one pack a day for 30 years, that's 30-pack years. If you smoke half a pack a day for 60 years, that's 30-pack years. So if you have that 30-pack year history and you were previously a smoker and you're in that age range, you qualify for a low-dose CAT scan, which will take a look at your entire chest. And if there's any of those little spots there that could be developing that are not causing you symptoms yet, they'll be caught early.
I see. And your doctor can order that, one's doctor, and actually there are places. And again, at NYU Winthrop, we have a lung cancer mm-hmm. screening program. And it really, the studies have come out that if you catch it early, as with any cancer, that is the best chance for control mm-hmm. or cure. And the problem in the past is people who have shown up with symptoms, usually that's more advanced and the recovery is more difficult. Am
yeah.
I right?
Absolutely right. If you have an early stage lung cancer or a small spot on your lung and it has not spread anywhere yet, you can be cured with just surgery. No chemotherapy, no radiation therapy. You have an operation, that's all you're going to need. if it becomes advanced and starts spreading, that's when we start talking about all these other treatments, and you may not even be a candidate for surgery anymore. So catching it early is what you want.
I see. One of my concerns, again, if someone told me, well, go get a CAT scan, and people are always concerned, well, these doctors, they're just so aggressive to do things. And a CAT scan has essentially no risk. It is an X-ray. There is a little bit of radiation. And actually, the lung cancer screening X-rays have a lot less radiation than CAT scans done for other reasons. If you're looking for a specific problem, then the dose has to be higher. But we do know that the risk of this radiation is much less than the potential benefit. But again, we'll use the scenario. I go to my doctor, he says, get a CAT scan. And, well, you're just looking to do something. And do you, every spot on every lung, does that require surgery? How do you determine who you watch? And then we'll go into surgery. And again, I'm just encouraging people to call. We'd love to answer your questions. 1-800-848-WABC. That's 848-9222. So you see a spot on the lung. And how are you going to determine what you do? What are the options?
Sure. So there's actually pretty specific guidelines that radiologists have developed about what these spots actually look like and which ones we should be concerned about. So the first question is, has it been there before? Have you had CAT scans or x-rays in the past that showed a spot? Has it grown? Has it been slowly growing, or has it doubled in size over the last year? How big is it? Is it really small? Is it half a centimeter, or the size of a pinhead? Or is it taking up half of your lung? And then the actual quality of this spot, is it really solid and dense, or is it just a little hazy? And we take all of that into account before we decide if you need treatment and if we should just watch it and see what happens to it.
So that's, I assume, not uncommon, where you'll have a small spot, less than a half an inch or so, and then you'll say sometimes, let's just repeat the scan in either a few months or 6 months. Am I right?
Yeah, that's exactly right. For these really small spots, even if they end up being a cancer down the road, if we have to do something as it starts growing, there's no risk waiting 6 weeks and seeing, if it does start to get bigger.
Great. The terms for a spot, again, people come to me and say, oh, my God, I was told it's a nodule. Then someone else says it's a mass. Someone says it's a tumor or it's a spot. Are they different things? Mm-hmm. Should I know the difference, or what are your thoughts about that?
Yeah, so spot, nodule, mass, lesion, there's dozens of different words that you'll hear doctors use for these things on the lungs. And I had a teacher years ago who was very strict about, the definitions of each of these. And, a mass was only, something on the lung that was more than 3 centimeters. If you called something small a mass, you would get reamed out by him and the rest of the department. Right. But most people don't follow it that strictly, so all those terms pretty much mean the same thing. There's something on your lung that needs to be looked into.
Right, and thank you. I agree with that, and words can be quite frightening, not only to patients. We actually have a caller, Philip in New Hyde Park. His question is not so much about a lung mass but about CAT scans in the chest. Sounds interesting. Philip, good morning. Are you there?
Good morning, doctor. Thank you very much. In 2002, I had a stent in my LAD. It was a non-drug-coated stent. And then some years later, I had two more stents. And I'm feeling good. I'm getting good. Physical. I'm doing well.
Great.
But I've always been skittish about getting a CAT scan because of the magnetic features of it and the fact that I had metal.
All right. Well, that's actually a very good question, and I think a lot of people would be interested in the answer. So, when you say magnetic, I'm going to ask actually Dr. Mitzman. This is a good one for him. There's CAT scans, and there's what's called MRIs, and there's a difference.
That's right.
And I think that's what you're talking about. And then I'm going to ask Dr. Mitzman, what's the difference between an MRI and a CAT scan?
Sure. So a CAT scan.
Philip, don't go away.
Yeah, definitely hang on the line, Philip. So CAT scans, you have nothing to worry about. So with a CAT scan, it uses radiation to check the density of your tissues, how thick your tissues are, essentially. So it has nothing to do with magnets, your stents, you have nothing to worry about.
Great.
They're not going to move or anything like that. It's MRIs where if you have metal implants, many times we're concerned about putting you in an MRI machine. But even then, there are a lot of implants out there and stents specifically where it's okay to actually go into an MRI scanner, depending on what you actually have implanted in you.
Right. And go ahead.
Yes, I would think that over the many years that the blood vessels had covered over the stent and that it would lose its magnetic quality.
But actually, these stents, they're now made from metals that are not magnetic. Mm-hmm. And actually, there's thought that early on, after a stent, within a few weeks, mm-hmm. you should avoid an MRI. But that's not clear. If you needed one, you could get it. So based on your question, the stent should have no problem if you need an MRI, and especially if you need a CAT scan. You can see those areas on those studies, but if the doctor knows you had a stent, they won't be concerned. So there should be no problem whatsoever mm-hmm. getting either study. So, Phil, you sound good, and sounds like the stent is doing its job.
Yeah.
And we really do appreciate your call. Thank you very much.
Thank you, doctor. Appreciate you.
All right. Yeah. So we were talking about spots on the lungs and people that need surgery. Now, someone tells me now I need to know what this is.
Mm-hmm.
And there's something called a biopsy. What is a biopsy? What does that mean? What does that mean?
So a biopsy is a really broad term that just means taking part of this spot, part of the tissue, to try to figure out what it is. And there's different kinds of biopsies. There's a kind where we just stick a little needle into it and take some cells. And there's another kind called an excisional biopsy, where we're actually taking the whole thing out to look at it to try to figure out what it is.
Now, people will come to me and say, well, why are you recommending an operation? And we're going to get into mm-hmm. the degrees of surgery, which have changed dramatically over the past few years. But to say, well, why are you rushing? Why don't you do a biopsy? Why don't you put a little needle in there? Why don't we do that on everybody?
Sure. So that's actually one of the most common questions that I get asked in my office when a patient comes in with a spot on their lung. Why can't we just put a needle in to figure out what this is before we move ahead with an operation? And it all comes down to the risk of it being a cancer. If there's a spot on your lung that is very concerning, it's been growing and it has features on CAT scan that make it look like there's a good chance it's a cancer. If we put a needle into that and it comes back negative, I'm still going to be concerned. There's a chance that needle may have missed the area.
Again, for the public, always get, is negative good or bad?
Is negative good or bad?
When it comes back negative.
So it's
what does that mean?
All it means is inconclusive. We don't know. It's not really a true negative.
Got it.
And that's the problem here, is that we can say, great, we didn't see any cancer cells on that biopsy, but maybe they missed it with the needle, or that one area they looked at just wasn't good enough because they're taking such a small sample. And I'm still going to recommend that we do an operation to get that out of you so we can be sure that it's not a cancer.
So what you're saying is, if we're going to want to take it out anyway,
right,
don't do the biopsy. And just to elaborate, we do biopsies if someone has other medical issues and you say you can have surgery for you have heart disease or very elderly, or we know that surgery is not the best option for other reasons, and we may know that it has mm-hmm. spread already, unfortunately. And that's where I think a biopsy is important, in that you want to find out what it is, but we're not planning an operation.
Mm-hmm.
Now, with surgery for either a biopsy or to take it out, again, this has been done for many years. How do you get to the lung? What? Give me some idea.
Sure. Carefully.
Okay.
So the way we get to the lung is we go into the chest through the side between your ribs, and there's different ways of doing this. Classically, and I say classically, really only 20 years ago, the only way to do this was to make a very large incision, a very large cut on your patient's side, basically cutting a person in half, spreading the ribs, breaking the ribs, and getting your hands in there. But now we have these amazing techniques where we could do this with just a couple of small holes, where 2 days later, the patient's out of the hospital, they're not in that much pain, and you're back to work in a couple weeks. It's really, we've come quite a long way.
Right. Patients will come to me and say, can you do this laparoscopic? That's a term that a lot of people know out there. Laparoscopic, first of all, what is laparoscopy and how does that relate really to what we're doing?
So laparoscopy specifically is for the abdomen, the belly.
Right. So if you're going to have your gallbladder out.
Exactly. Gallbladder, appendix, intestinal surgery, that's laparoscopy. And that's making a couple small holes on the abdomen, on the belly, and going in with a camera and some long instruments. When we're talking chest, it's thoracoscopy. So thora means chest and oscopy is the camera. So similar idea, but going into the chest instead of the belly.
I get it. So there's a term patients will read. They'll go on the internet. It's called VATS, V-A-T-S, and say, can you do this VATS?
Yeah.
What does that mean?
So it's just a nice abbreviation for video-assisted thoracoscopic surgery.
Okay.
Basically, similar to laparoscopy if you're getting your gallbladder out, but we're making three or four small holes in the chest and going in with chopsticks and able to do the whole operation that way.
I see. And, okay, so VATS, you don't have to spray the ribs.
Exactly right. So that's one of the main reasons that people have pain after the old school way of performing chest surgery is we have to spread the ribs or break the ribs and we damage nerves. And, it's pain that you'll get over and you'll recover from, but it hurts.
Right.
And with VATS, we don't have to do that anymore.
All right, well, if this VATS or thoracoscopic surgery, again, lately, I don't want to even say in the news because this is now becoming what I would feel is the standard of care for chest surgery. People talk about robotic surgery, and I want to talk a little about robotic because robotic to me, it sounds a little science fiction.
Mm-hmm.
And if you look out there in the press, there's been a little bit of negativity in certain aspects. What is robotic surgery?
So robotic surgery has been a game changer for many fields, urology, our field, thoracic surgery, gastrointestinal surgery. And what many people think is we just hook you up to a robot, we hit a button, and then the doctor goes and gets a cup of coffee, and the robot does the work.
Right.
But it's very similar to VATS, where we're just making a handful of small holes, but instead of using these chopsticks, these long instruments, we have a very sophisticated robot where we control it directly and we have much better visualization, 10 times magnification. It's completely 3D. And any movement that we do with our wrist, the robot mimics it. So rather than just these straight chopsticks and instruments, it's basically having miniature hands inside of the patient to be able to do the operation.
I see. And well, of course, we both know, but we'll say we are now, this has become the standard of care. And at NYU Winthrop, I would say well over 90%, even 95% of any surgery for the lung or in the chest, other than heart surgery, is done robotically. And I know over my career of over 20 years, the recovery is unbelievably better. People who used to stay in the hospital 5 days, 7 days. Mm-hmm. We've had them now go home in 2 days. But what I worry about with that is someone says, well, this is lung cancer. And all right, I go home in 2 days. But Dr. Mitzman, am I getting the right operation? I mean, years ago, they saw everything. And my concern is, well, I went home in 2 days. I feel better. But are you doing what you need to do?
It's the same exact operation. So whether we do an open surgery, the old school way with spreading the ribs and getting our hands in, or VATS or robotic, it's all the same steps. We're doing the same operation. We're taking out your lymph nodes. We're taking out the spot that's in there. We're looking at everything. It's the same exact procedure. It's just a quicker recovery. It's less pain for you. And if anything, it's easier for us because the robot lets us see things better and do more complex surgery in an easier fashion.
So, all right. So the patients in the operating room under anesthesia with an anesthesiologist as a team, but you're the robotic surgeon. Where are you?
I told you I'm down the street getting coffee.
So
the way the robot works is the surgeon sits in a large console to control it, and it's just a few feet away from the patient. So rather than being standing right next to the bedside holding those instruments or having your hands directly on the patient, you're 3-4 feet away sitting in this console. So you're still right there doing the operation.
So God forbid any issues, the whole team is there as if it was an open operation.
Exactly. And you still have your assistant and the nurses and anesthesia still all there right next to the patient, exactly as they would be for any other operation. All right.
So my next question would be if someone said, okay, you have a spot on the lung, which we've been focusing on for the past half hour. We have a few minutes left. 1-800-848-WABC. We have a time for one more call if anybody wants to call in. But we're talking about spot on lung. Well, Dr. Mitzing, you're going to go in there. You don't know what it is yet.
Mm-hmm.
How do you know what to do? Are you going to close me up and I have to come back? Or how does that work?
Sure. So if there is a spot on your lung and we're not sure exactly what it is, but we're concerned it's cancer, we will go in and we will take that spot out. It's called an excisional biopsy, where we're taking just enough lung to get that spot. We have a pathologist in the operating room, looks at it, tells us cancer, no cancer. If it's cancer, we need to take a little bit more lung to get you a true cancer operation so we can cure you. If it's not cancer, you're done.
So when you say a little bit more lung, that's again, that was going to be my next topic. How do you know how much to take?
Sure. So quick anatomy lesson, two lungs. Your right lung has three parts. Left lung has two parts. Those are called lobes. And if you have a cancer in a lobe, the general standard of care is to take out that entire lobe. You want to take out the whole blood supply that's shared with that spot, that cancer, and all the lymph nodes that are shared with that cancer. So, for example, if it's a spot in the right upper lobe of the right lung, you would take out the right upper lobe.
I see. And then, again, of concern, this is not like a spot on the skin where you can take it out and, you know, cover it up with other skin. I would be concerned that, well, you're, you know, my lungs are important, of course. We know that. How do you know that, I can tolerate it? And how much can you take out safely?
Sure. So one of the things we get on every patient before any amount of lung resection or lung surgery is we get pulmonary function testing. It's basically a fancy breathing test. It tells us how well your lungs are working and how much lung we could actually remove from you safely so that you would not have any symptoms afterwards. Because the last thing we want to do is for you to end up on oxygen the rest of your life.
Right. Now, not all patients are the same. There are patients that, is it true that have never smoked that can have lung cancer?
Oh, yeah. About a third of our patients, a third of lung cancer patients have never smoked before. And we're still trying to figure out why that is, whether it's genetic or whether there's some other reason. But smoking is not the only reason.
Right. So if you remove someone's lobe or one part of their lung, can they go back to work? Can they?
Of course.
And then what? And again, we have about a minute left. You take it out. And then the other question people always ask, well, is that it? And am I done? Or do I need? And I always am reluctant to use frightening words with a patient, but you know what's called radiation therapy or the word chemo, which works very well for a lot of cancers. Do they need that?
So again, like I was saying before, if we catch it early, if it's an early stage lung cancer, all you may need is surgery. And I just want to emphasize to all the listeners out there, if you were a smoker, get that lung cancer screening. Tell your doctor that you want a screening CAT scan to make sure you don't have a lung cancer. If you catch it early, you could be cured.
All right. Well, thank you so much. As you can hear by the music beginning in the background, we're running out of time. It was a pleasure to host, and I always thank Dr. Katz for allowing me to do that. I want to thank Dr. Mitzman. We're both from NYU Winthrop, and it's a beautiful fall day, the first day. And as I've said in the past four times that I've hosted, go out there, be active, and just be kind to someone today. And that's all we need to do, and it'll be a better world. And thank you, everybody, and I want to wish you all well.
Thanks.
77 WAB.